Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today, we're talking with former pro cyclist and now runner, Adam Blythe.
How are you, Rick?
I'm very well, mate. I did a repeat of my run to and from Greenwich.
You are but a creature of habit, Rick.
Yeah, I am, actually. It's true. I really am. So it's about 15 miles. And I think other runners, I hope, will agree with this. But when you start piecing together a few sort of 15, 16 mile like long runs, your mind inevitably goes to the marathon, because you're like, I'm doing these 16, like, you're not far away from like an 18 miler and then a 20 miler. And if you've done a 20 miler, then like you're building up to something. So it's quite a funny feeling of doing this, feeling like I'm getting fitter, but there being very little prospect of a race in which I can actually use this fitness. But it's been nice. It's been nice to get out. Obviously the weather's made a huge difference. So yeah, but I have got my eyes on the autumn, and if there is a marathon that is on, I might have a go at a PB. But it's a huge if, isn't it? Because who knows if
like marathon's going to be. That escalated quickly, mate.
I know, didn't it? Yeah, it really did, didn't it?
I'm enjoying my running at the moment, and I've done 15 miles. Oh, by the way, I'm going to do a marathon, and I'm going to set a PB.
Yeah, you're right. I think I remember when I did the North Downs last year, like... That was off the back of a really good run commute with a bag, and I was like, "Cool, I've done 7 miles in an hour with a heavy bag. Presumably, I can go and run 100 miles." So it's strange how the mind can work.
Just a small glimmer of hope, and immediately, I'll be doing the South Downs Way 100 again this year.
Exactly. So beat that, Ben. What have you been up to?
I've just been enjoying some nice casual running, which has not inspired me to do anything more than casual running.
Well, that's okay, you know, it's a broad shirt.
It's great, mate. No, it's been lovely. I think the sun has been out, and that makes everything nice. Our guest this week, Adam, talks a bit about going out and doing sort of bursts where you get your heart rate up, and I'm with him on that. I've been doing more of that as a sort of focus on form and all the things that come with running fast. I kind of feel like if I'm going to, as I build back up into running, you know, it's a lot of strength work. It's a lot of working out what I need to build on to make my body feel more elastic. You know, after last week's podcast with...
wasn't that good? With Shane. With so Shane. Inspiring, isn't it?
When yeah, he talks yeah. About you know, I was thinking about that as I was moving. I was thinking, you know, he was right. Change a few things and your body will adapt. I don't have to be mechanical. I can be elastic and move nicely. And that was at the forefront of my mind as I sort of went out and tried to do some more running and a few more efforts and all these sorts of things. So it's been, yeah it's been nice, mate. I've been doing a bit of no watch running as well. So yeah. Just sort of going by feel, not having the sort of like put it on Strava pressure, just keeping it to myself. And I mean, putting it on Strava is not really a pressure, is it? But it's an account of what you've done, and I don't really feel like that's necessary. So I've been doing just a bit of like effort, but just going by, not even by what heart rate feels like, really, just going by effort. So it's been really good.
I think that's good, mate. Yeah, just going back to the Shane interview, because I've been thinking about what he said, and I liked what he said when he talked about how you perceive how you're moving has a real actual effect on how you're moving. So if you think that you're elastic and you think that you have this kind of energy source of fascia tapping into that, actually that will start to run in a more elastic way purely just by thinking about it. Quite empowering, actually. You don't have to do anything different. You literally have to think about your movement in a different way.
And I was 100% guilty of thinking that the ground contact time and you know, the contact with the ground was the enemy, and that, you know, powering off and, you know, impact and those sorts of things were kind of like, I've got to negate those things as much as possible. So you sort of develop a very sort of high cadency, shuffly sort of running that, you know, exponents of high cadence have always said that that's, you know, will keep you injury free if you run with a higher cadence, because you reduce the amount of ground contact time and those sorts of things. But actually, you know what, I flicked the switch a bit and went, well, if I want my major muscles to work properly, then they're going to have to hit the floor properly. You know, I'm going to have to engage with the floor properly. So, you know, that drive and that push and making sure that my quads are, you know, the impact and, you know, you've got to make sure that your feet are landing beneath you and not in front of you. But yeah, it was nice. It was kind of a nice reset to just sort of think about things in a, as you say, like change some pathways and think about it in a different way. So yeah, it was good. That's been very good. I have enjoyed that.
I really agree with you about the cadence thing, because I think, yeah, we're told, aren't we? And I think Shane is a fan of like the 180 cadence, like you know, how most great runners run at that kind of 180 cadence. But a lot of people, what that ends up translating as is, like you say, this really short stride, this kind of very choppy short stride that isn't very graceful or powerful. And actually, he's more about like kind of expanding that stride length whilst keeping a high cadence and getting a little bit more air. Actually, that's the route to faster, more graceful running. And I think he's right.
I think he's right. I think it's something that, you know, something that I could absolutely apply to my running. And I'll see how it goes, because at the moment, you know, all bets are off. Just try new stuff.
Well, hey, you've got an opportunity coming up then, because it's Global Running Day on Wednesday.
And we needed more of an excuse.
And it's hard, this stuff, isn't it? I feel like, is it in the same bracket as like Mother's Day and Father's Day, where it's like, you know, you're getting told that a day is that's the running day. But maybe we, you know, but also it's a good annual celebration of running. So I want to be positive about it. But every day is a running day, you know?
I know what you mean, of course. It's just like, well, you know, I go running every day. What makes this day special? But maybe it's, you know, just to highlight community.
Okay. Well, that's, yeah. And we're doing this virtual relay, aren't we? Which sounds very modern. So we've got 12 people, 12 people, everyone doing an hour, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I think I've got you down for the 4 o'clock, 4 to 5 shift.
Which is perfect. It's my favourite time to run.
Yeah. So if anyone spots an elastic looking runner over in East London, they'll know it's you.
They will. Guaranteed.
Do you want a bit of pseudoscience?
Yes, please.
This is a good one, because you're talking about running more quickly. And I think hill running is often talked about as kind of sprinting in disguise. So this is a study published in the International Journal of Scientific Research, found that club level middle distance runners, so people who are already running regularly, they did 6 weeks, or they did 12 weeks of hill training. One group did hill training twice a week, and one group didn't do any hill training, but all of them were running regularly and were fit before this. And after only 6 weeks, there was a marked difference between the people who started hill training. And they showed, I think VO2 max was up, resting heart rate was down. One other marker of fitness was affected as well. And even after not hill training, then again, after this 12-week period, 4 weeks after, those improvements between the groups remain the same. So hitting the hills, Ben, that is more evidence to suggest hitting the hills is really, really crucial to runners of all abilities. Oh, Ben, can you tell us a little bit about the runner and the bear? It's not a kind of children's bedtime story. This actually happened.
It sounded like the start of a really bad joke. No, I can. I can tell you a story about a runner and a bear, which a man called Francis is happy to be alive and well after being chased and charged by a black bear in the remote community of Hills, British Columbia. This guy was out for a run, and a bear came for him.
Wow!
And, you know, and as you imagine, that's a pretty scary thing to have happened. So basically, he survived this by climbing a tree, and in my head, that is an immediate red flag, because I'm pretty sure bears can climb trees.
Yeah, that's anyway. My take on it. I'm like, what? That they climb trees, don't they?
They do. The bear climbed another tree nearby, as our man Francis continued to scream and shook the tree in an attempt to scare it off. And it seemed to work. The bear went away. But so 15 minutes he waited up this tree thinking it was safe, and he comes back down. But the bear had been waiting, and it came at him, and it came at him again. So he had to scramble back up the tree again.
Reclimb the tree, Jesus.
Yeah, and the bear would left and came back every 10 minutes for 2 hours, whilst he clung to the tree. And the tree itself, the branches weren't big enough to support him, so he actually literally had to cling to the tree like a sort of koala bear.
My God.
Until he was thankfully rescued by, hold on,
another bear, the good bear.
No, so thankfully Matt, the hero of this story, Matt, who's head of the Hills Emergency Services Society, came along because he heard the yelling from his nearby home, and he went out to find him. So there you go.
I often think this, yeah, like we were lucky, aren't we, in the UK, that we, like, what, we'd be, you might get stung by a wasp or a bee.
Yeah. You might see a disgruntled badger.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just fair play to him. But 15 minutes clung to a tree trunk.
Well, and then 2 hours.
Of course, yeah, 2 hours.
Wow. 2 hours clinging to a tree while this bear sort of lopes around looking angry. So there you go. That's a bit terrifying.
Great story. Oh, I tell you what, we should try and get him on the podcast, shouldn't we? That'd be amazing.
What, the bear?
No, Francis, the tree hugger.
Our man Francis. Yeah, we should. We'll try and do that. We'll use our power.
Yeah, yeah. If you're listening, come down from your tree and come onto the podcast.
Right, we should get our guest of the week on.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
Pro and former British road race champion, he beat some bloke called Mark Cavendish, I'll have you know. Adam Blythe retired from riding his bike professionally at the end of last year and has since been enjoying life away from the peloton and has been discovering the joys of running. Adam Blythe, welcome to the Run As Well podcast.
Thank you for having me.
How long were you a professional bike rider?
Professionally I was 10 years at the highest level, and then a couple of years amateur, and then obviously when I was growing up, that doesn't count as being a professional. So 10 years proper professional, but 25 years racing my bike. I started racing when I was 5, so for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, it's a very similar trajectory, I guess, as any sort of athlete takes, as in you adopt these things early doors when you're a kid, and kind of like the passion that you have and the fun you get out of it as a kid suddenly becomes something that you want to pursue as you get older.
Yeah, definitely, I'd say so. I think the more I got into it, and I think, you know, my mid-20s, especially when I had my first child, when we had my first child, should I say, it's not the love for it never died, but the importance of what was more important to me, cycling took a back seat compared to my children. So, it started dying down after that, but it's definitely, I think, when you start so young and you've got such a big passion for it, and then being able to do it and be paid to do it, it was certainly, I'm not going to say a dream come true, because I think, you know, dreams are not about just that. But yeah, it was definitely a pleasure to be able to do that.
And was running ever part of your training schedule when you were at kind of the height of your career?
Weirdly, on the bike, never. So when I was anything around bike riding and running generally don't mix that well, just because of the impact on your knees. So once in the winter, you'd sort of have a month off of generally no bike, and just to clear the head, really, to leave it alone, and just, you know, what you take such an amount of time off, so you look forward to getting back on the bike, and you can do other sports in the meantime. And I like to do a bit of running, but you have to be so cautious with your knees. I mean, there's no impact on your knees in cycling, so as soon as you run out that door, and you know, you're very, very fit as a cyclist, so you can run, if you can run all right, then you can run quite quickly straight away, and you can run for a long time quickly. But the impact that has on your knees that are not used to it can it can ruin a career, sadly. So no, we got told to avoid it, and I avoided it just for that reason, really.
Yeah, I think that's a real common unfortunate downside of your engine is real good as a cyclist. You've got all this, you know, and you're really used to effort, and you can put that, you know, how to put yourself in a box and make yourself hurt a little bit. So when it comes to running, people immediately go like, yeah, I've got this. This is me, because it's very similar. But as you say, from a very linear and non-impact sport like cycling to a sort of all planes of movement, quite impactful sort of thing, the two things aren't very complementary.
No, they're not at all. I went out the other night and I've been saying for a long time, oh, I'm going to do a half marathon just to see how fast I can do it. And I'm not at all unfit, but I'm a lot less fit than I was when I was racing, that's for sure. And I set off the other night, and I've got an old bridle way just outside my house here, and I can run. It's 14 miles long, so I was like, I'll just run, you know, 10 and a bit K down there and run 10 and a bit K back. But it's just, I was so, I know it sounds daft, but when you get like into 40 minutes in, I was just like, oh God, I'm bored. I'm just going to go on the road for a bit and go up and down a few hills. And I started doing that. But obviously running on the road then, I have to start going up hills and all that kind of stuff. And my stomach, oh, I got back and my stomach was in bits. I don't know what it was. It wasn't my legs. It's just my stomach is awful.
It's really interesting when you, and this is why we wanted to talk to you, because you get people whose career is based around sport, and they train at the highest level and they perform at the highest level, but they may not have been runners. And then all of a sudden, you know, athletes take on running, and it's just these, people assume that straight away it's going to be like, oh no, well, they're athletes, they can crack on with it. But running is a real leveler. It has this great ability to just take anyone who thought previously that they were, you know, in good nick, and suddenly make them realise that there's a lot of stuff going on that they're probably not so great at.
Oh yeah, it can destroy you for sure. I set off, and this run I was like, really, I don't think I'm a slow runner, but I don't, for sure I'm not the fastest runner that's ever lived, but I think I can run at a reasonable rate. And I set off down this bridle path, and I was like, right, if I run at 4.5 minute Ks, I can do for a minute, an hour and a half for a half marathon, which I'll be dead happy with. And I set off down this, and I got 5K in, and I was like, right, I'm going to go on the road now. And it started going up and down. And honestly, as soon as I started going up and down, everything started to hurt a lot more. And my pace went down, and I'd stress about my pace going down. So I'd start sprinting up hills, and it was just, oh, it was a nightmare. I was so, at the end of it, I was so pissed off I didn't just stay on this bloody path that was flat and straight. But yeah, it definitely got me.
But you obviously choose to run, Adam. So like, what is it that that kind of drew you to running? Because obviously it does come with its own hardships.
Yeah, I think, you know, the ease of it. I think when I retired, it was in the winter, and I got to around Christmas time, and I was like, oh my God, my waistline is expanding quickly. So I was like, I need to do some sport. And I wasn't really, it's not that I wasn't in the mood for a bike ride, but in the winter to go out on the bike, you ride basically at double the speed you do running. And it's not necessarily, you don't have the right clothes to wear, but it's just the amount you have to wear. It's all the wind chill and everything. So when you go out on the bike, you've got like four layers on, you've got overshoes to put on over your cycling shoes. And it's just, to get ready, it'll take you 25 minutes. And you go out on your bike, you do an hour or whatever it is, and then inevitably your bike's going to be dirty. So you've got to wash that. That's another 25 minutes. You get back, then you have to get all your clothes off, get a shower. That's, by the time you've done an hour's bike ride, it's like 2 hours of faffing. Whereas a run, I can just literally just put a pair of shorts on, a vest and a jumper, and just literally go out the door. That's it.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So for that, I loved it, and it was about not being really efficient at running as well. I think when I went out on the bikes, I've been doing it for so long, I was very efficient, and my body was so used to it that it wouldn't have the effect that I wanted it to from doing a 1 hour ride. I'd really have to try so hard to get the calories that I wanted to burn. Whereas for a run, I could like go out the door and my heart rate would just go whack straight up to like 170. I could do half an hour's run and I'd feel knackered after it, but it's just naturally my heart rate went a lot higher. Whereas on the bike, as I said, because I'm so efficient, for me to get my heart rate that high, it'd be a full effort, and it was just that mental block of going, oh, I can't go out and do that. Whereas a run, it was so much, it was just natural. It was literally just go out the door, 2 minutes in and my heart rate sky high. So for that, I just loved it for the simplicity of it being hard the whole time. Well, as hard as you make it, but for that reason, really.
That's interesting. It's almost like, I remember chatting to Ronnie O'Sullivan, who's obviously a fantastic snooker player and a pretty decent runner as well. And I think part of the appeal for him was that, although he was a good runner, he wasn't brilliant at it. It wasn't like when he picks up a snooker cue and he's like an artist. It was like this was something that he had to try pretty hard at, and he was, decent, but not, setting the world alight. Was that a kind of part of the appeal for you as well? This was something that you weren't, there wasn't the same pressure, I guess.
Yeah, there wasn't any pressure, but it was also like the challenge as well. I think I know people that have done a bit of running and that kind of stuff, and it was just more of the fact that it was like, oh, can I go that fast? Do you think I could do that? And when all that five, especially now, this lockdown start, there was that run 5K, donate 5K, wasn't there? I saw loads of people going out, and there was like footballers going out and running at like 17, 18 minutes. And I was just like, but it's not that quick. And I was like, you guys are like fit as you can be. You run around all day, but yet you can only run that fast. I mean, I just couldn't comprehend it. So I was like, right, I'm going to go out and I'm going to try and run an 18 minute 5K. So it was that kind of motivation where it was just like a bit satisfying for me also, if I can do it, say, oh yeah, I've still got it a little bit. But more of the fact just to highlight that, runners who are really fast at running go a lot quicker than that. And the guys that are footballers that say they're fast at running, you're not really, are you? No offence if any footballers are listening.
It can be surprising, can't it? Because it's like 5K is quite applicable to football. It's kind of like endurance and speed. And they're all sort of, they're decent, aren't they? They're kind of, a lot of them running kind of like 18:30. But that's not... So, I mean, given that the world record for running is more like 12:30, it's a long, long way off.
I did an 18:30 after half a bottle of wine and a cider. So if I can do that after that, then need to up the game a bit.
So what is that? I mean, that sounds like quite a normal approach within the world of running that I know. Do you think you'd take on a sort of a training plan with running? Have you got aspirations? Now you've done your half marathon, have you got aspirations to do something faster or further or anything like that?
I think if I went completely flat down this bridle way, I'd think I could probably take 5 minutes off my time, which I think, it's nice to know that. Eventually I'll get round to doing it again, but there's no drive to do a marathon. There's no ambition to do it, really. It's just more of the fact that just going out and challenging myself to try and do a time, or just generally just to stay fit, really. So where I live at the minute is just on the edge of the Peak District, so it is either pan flat down this bridle path that I keep mentioning, or it is like uphill, up 7 or 8% climbs, 12% climbs, a lot of trail running, which I really do enjoy. But the satisfaction of doing times and comparing those times to people, I quite enjoy. although I say that, I use my Strava when I go trail running. I've nicked one Strava, running Strava already, which is good. But some of them, yeah, just no chance.
So you, I mean, you're still very much like you find the competitive side of it is the kind of the motivator. You're not like, you haven't quite zenned out into the sort of like running is now my peaceful at ease moment where I can just enjoy my surroundings. You like the challenge of it.
Oh no, I can never go out for a run slowly. It's just boring. If I go out, I'm like, right, heart rate up to 180 and let's just go for it, let's hold it. It's great. Well, I say it's great, I love doing it, but it's just it's just more of like a workout, really. Just go and push yourself for half an hour and get a lot out of it, really.
I mean, you know, protecting your knees now that you have to. Have you been doing your strength and conditioning work?
I've been doing quite a bit in the gym, but now I don't have to worry about it anymore. I think a lot of it as well is getting used to running. And when I didn't run before, I was just in a crappy pair of just old Nike running shoes. Now I've like got all them bloody, I don't know what they're called, Nike Zoom things. I've got a sole on them that's like a platform.
Oh yeah, the Nike Vaporfly 4%.
No,
yeah.
I've not got them yet. I've got the next ones down, so for like everyday running or something. But yeah, so I've just got them, and I think having that little bit of extra comfort and everything does obviously help. But
I mean, you'll find yourself getting into a whole world of kit slowly but surely. That's for sure.
Oh, do you know the worst thing is I went out the other day, this half marathon I did, and I didn't have anything to put my phone in. And I technically don't need my phone, but I wanted music on. And I didn't have anything apart from this like old bum bag that's got like a leather strap on it. It's a big leather bum bag as well. So I like strapped that around my waist. But after like 6K, I was like, oh God, it's just like digging in my stomach too much. So then I wrapped it around my shoulders and my neck. And I like every 2K I had to change it. So then obviously I got home and I had to order one of them things to put around your chest that you can store your phone in and all that kind of stuff now. So
you go.
Yeah, it's already taken effect.
You're investing already in the good stuff. That's good to hear.
Do you think that a lot of pro cyclists, like had they made different decisions and concentrated on running in their youth, could have become... Do you think in some ways it could be interchangeable as so far as what you need to succeed in either sport?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think, you know, if a lot of like the longer distance stuff for sure, I think that certainly cyclists, I know a couple of them now still do running. When they're still professionals still, and I think a lot of them can do it. But I guess it's just, you know, I think when you're at school and all these things, running, you do it every day when you're at school. You run if it's around a football pitch, whatever it is. So I think all kids can run, but I think a lot of them, you know, by the time you get to can you make it as a cyclist, you never really think back to being a runner, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's probably almost too late, but you just... I think if you really want to make it as a cyclist, if you want to make it as a runner, you need to commit fully to that. I don't think it's like anything these days. I don't think willy-nilly you can rock in when you're 25 anymore and be like, oh, just to let you know, I've decided to be a runner. So, yeah, I think you definitely can do it, but I think it's just committing to one sport, really.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I just look at some sort of the smaller rugby players or the bigger footballers. I think if you probably concentrate on the other sport as a kid or went to a different school or whatever changes that decision for you, they could probably do either. Apparently Gary Lineker was really good at cricket as well, and I think there are some of these people, aren't they, just kind of, you think you were going to be a sportsman and actually what sport you picked was slightly kind of a bit of luck. Yeah,
I think so. I think as well, I think it's what you've got the passion for. I think when I was younger, I did a lot of running as well. I did a lot of like cross-country running and things, but it was just more of the school's doing that. Do you want to go and have a go at it? I'm like, yeah, all right, fair enough. I never really thought anything of it. And I guess it's just realising that you can do something well and then committing to it. Because I think when you're in school, if you're naturally talented in sport, it's like Gary Lineker, you could probably, when you're, you know, 14, 15, you could probably say, I'll do three sports or four sports or... I think the older you get, the more niche you have to be and pick one and concentrate on making a living out of it.
Well, that was a nice segue, Rick, into a little quiz that I've
put together. Oh, brilliant. I love it when you do a quiz.
It's like a Zoom call, this.
It is a short quiz. Yeah, this is it. This is lockdown life now. It's a pub quiz.
Brilliant.
This is the who are the fastest cyclists at running quiz.
Oof.
Right? So there's a new breed of cyclists coming through these days who've dabbled in the dark arts of running, and I'm going to give you a couple of clues and you can see if you can guess who they are.
Yeah.
This EF Pro Cycling team rider once ran a sub 4 minute mile in his youth.
Is he American?
He is. No, he's not.
Oh wow.
North American, should we say?
Alex Howes?
No.
Oh, no idea then.
It was Michael Rusty Woods.
Oh really? Oh yeah, that doesn't surprise me actually.
It's a sub 4 minute mile. That's
yeah. He was like youth Canadian champ or something.
Jesus. Fair played. I mean, there's a guy who could have picked, right? For sure.
Well, he stopped running because of stress fractures.
Ah. Well, he probably picked up the bike to stay fit, and Bob's your uncle.
That's pretty much it. I think that's quite the story.
Brilliant.
So this is a former teammate of yours, I think. I might have got that wrong, but
I've had a lot of them.
This former teammate of yours enjoyed taking part in an obstacle race called the Survival Run. Do you know who that might be?
God,
it's like an obstacle. It was Lotto rider.
Is he Belgium?
Yeah.
Is it Gilbert?
It wasn't.
Oh.
It was Tiche.
Oh, Tiche Benoot.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, there you go.
So every day.
We're back to the EF Pro Cycling again. They seem to have a little liking of runners. But which current pro was a 1500 meter specialist before he took up bike racing?
Oh my god, I should know all this, but I've no idea. Literally not a clue. Is it Michael Rusty Woods again?
Well, this is Jimmy Whelan.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think there's some similarities between running and cycling.
Yeah. Interestingly, both sort of middle distance run as well, 1500 and
yeah, there's a lot of that. Mm. Anyway, last one. Back in October 2019, Team Ineos rider Owain Doull posted a 3 mile run in San Francisco, but how fast do you think he ran it?
Slowly. Slowly. Knowing Doull, he had a hangover. How many is 3 miles?
What?
Just shy of 5K.
21 minutes.
Slower.
You were
slower.
Kind. You were
23
slower.
Minutes.
Just under 24 minutes.
Oh, there he is.
23:58.
He's not built for running, is he?
San Francisco is hilly. That's what I'll say. I'll say that for Owen. But yeah,
it can be flat though.
Yeah. It can. His route didn't look mountainous where he was.
He could not make the switch. I think we can say that definitively. He's not about to make the switch to pro running. Off the back of that,
I tell you who could make the switch is Tom Pidcock.
He's a machine, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He did a 5K in, I think it was like 16 and a half minutes, and the lower side of half of that. Yeah, he's rapid.
Mm.
He's amazing.
Talent coming out of his ears, a little bugger.
He does, he really does. Was he currently like under 23 world champ?
Yeah, under 23 Cyclocross. World champ. Second elite, actually, in the world champ cyclocross.
Yeah. He was,
he's unbelievable.
It's amazing, actually. This is completely non-running based, but cyclocross seems to breed a whole world of different level of athlete, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, you really do have to be... We talked about going running for an hour where you just go out your door and go... You can go quite hard for an hour without realising. And I think cyclocross, you go up to your limit straight away from the start, and then it's just about going over your limit for... A couple of seconds, 20 seconds, going back down to your limit, going over your limit. And it's just that whole riding at your threshold, but then having little spikes the whole way through it. And, yeah, bringing running into that as well is hardcore.
Basically a cross-country race, but with a bike, and you jump, you mix between the two. So you'll ride your bike in through the mud, and then the really muddy, steep bits, you'll jump off and run up with it, and then you jump back on again and keep
brutal,
going.
Yeah.
horrific.
It's really horrific. But that's why I think someone like Pidcock would probably do pretty well.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. 100%.
I think that a lot of people kind of feel
quite tribal about running in some ways. They kind of very much associate as a runner, and then maybe the same is true of cycling, where people think of themselves very much in that bracket as a cyclist. And some people don't think there's too much that either sort of tribe has in common, and culturally they're quite different. Do you think that's true though, or do you think actually that there's lots and lots of similarities between cycling and running?
I think, you know, physically on what it demands, it's quite similar. I think both worlds are obviously very different. I think running, you know, I don't know enough about it. I'm sure it is quite technical. I'm sure there's so many things that you can do, what we call in cycling as marginal gains. I'm sure there's so much of that in running that I don't know about as well. But I definitely think, you know, the physical side of it is very similar. I think you got to have a good set of lungs to do it. You need to have quite a high pain threshold. And I think it's just about getting into that zone of being able to suffer. And I think everyone's pain threshold is very different, whereas I'd like to say cyclists' pain threshold are quite high, as with runners, and you have to hold that threshold for a lot longer than you do in any sport, really.
Do you think you learn that a bit through doing it, or do you think people are kind of, some people are just tougher in that aspect than others?
I think within cycling, people are tougher than others within cycling, and I'm sure within running, no one's got the same pain threshold. I think Peter Sagan doesn't even have lactate. It doesn't even exist in his body. But yeah, I think it's, you know, I think the more you do something, the more you get used to doing it. And I think once you learn to suffer as much as you can learn, I think it doesn't make your life easier, because you're just bringing up your pain threshold higher and you're getting used to it more. But it does make things easier if you're transitioning, I guess.
Yeah, it's that quote, isn't it? It never gets easy, you just get faster, which is, I think, unfortunately, that's true.
It's so true, so annoyingly true.
Thank you so much, Adam, for joining us on the podcast. We'll be keeping an eagle eye on your Strava. Make sure you're getting out there and getting the miles in.
Oh, God, don't at all.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. A big thanks to our guest, Adam Blythe, and to you, of course, for listening.
The Runners World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes, and all of your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runners World UK. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.